a hand clap of praise this evening. Praise God. Good to see y'all this evening. Hope everyone's doing well. Just love the Lord this evening. Excited about our service tonight. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I want to get right into service this evening. I know there's a lot of prayer requests, and I mean, and we all know what I'm saying. There's a lot of them, and there's a lot of flash text, and there's written, and those coming in through Facebook and the other systems that we have. And I just want us to remember each and every one. And for those that aren't able to be with us tonight, those that are sick and shut in, or in nursing homes and assisted livings, or going to rehab, there's so many people that we've heard of or that we know. And I'm just going to ask, anybody on my right side have any spoken prayer requests tonight? Miss Sister Lori? Okay, Sister Tabitha. She did well. Praise the Lord for that. Yes, praise God. Absolutely. I know that's been updating as we go along. And also for that household, because I know she was doing all the cooking and things there at the house. Anyone else on my right side with a spoken prayer request tonight? Sister Susan? Absolutely. Anyone else on my right side tonight with a spoken prayer request? Sister Laura? That's right, I saw that. Praise the Lord. That's right, after a month in the hospital. That's great. That's right. No, thank you for reminding us. We need to hear. That's right. We need to give God all the praise and glory. Absolutely. Anyone else on my right side tonight? Oh. That's right. That's right. I haven't had a chance to look, get an update on it today. Absolutely, that hurricane. Anyone on the left side with a spoken prayer request tonight? All righty. Praise God. Anyone up on the roster?
Just a request that I sent my nephew's little baby. He might be 3 weeks old, but his heart rate was like over 300, and they rushed him to Children's. That's all I really know. But we just need to keep him in prayer. His name's Jeb.
Jeb. Absolutely. Anyone else? Anyone else? Absolutely. And my parents, too. My dad. Anyone with an unspoken prayer request, just show by raising your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we want to lift you up and honor you in every which way that we possibly can, dear Lord. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, for this opportunity we have to even gather in your house tonight. Dear Lord, as we come together, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, receptive to your word, Lord, receptive to the Holy Ghost. Let it just pass amongst each and every one of us, dear Lord, that we'll just be content and just understand your word tonight. Dear Lord, you hear those spoken and unspoken prayer requests, dear Lord, and we're lifting them up to you. Those little ones, dear Lord, all the way up through the elderly that need your touch, need your healing, need your protection, and dear Lord, that needs you no matter what. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for the testimonies of praise, for the things that you've overcome for us. Lord, for the healings, for those that you have already healed, dear Lord, and our faith is in it. Lord, to know that you're already touching, even though we may not have seen it yet. But, dear Lord, that every situation is in your hands. Dear Lord, we thank you for that. And, dear Lord, again, for those unspoken prayer requests, Lord, we ask you just to be with each and every situation, dear Lord, and we just pray for the lost. Dear Lord, we pray that they'll have an opportunity to hear your word, dear Lord, and come to an altar of repentance. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. We ask for you to touch our country. And, dear Lord, for these situations that's going forth now, dear Lord, they seem so dark. But, dear Lord, you are the light. And we ask that you'll shine on each and every one, dear Lord. And we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give him another hand clap of praise. I don't think we can praise him enough. Praise the Lord. I hadn't had a chance to tell them up here, our band, but if you would, turn to page 333, I'll Fly Away. I need all y'all to help tonight. Just sing out. We're just going to enjoy lifting up praises and song to the Lord. I'll Fly Away.
Some glad morning.
Seated. I don't know about y'all, but I was getting happy singing that. I just, out of everything going on, all the situations and all the conversations, I know who holds my life and who holds it in this world in His hands. And I just want to give God all the glory in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If there's anyone in the sound of my voice, whether you're watching on the live feed or you're here in the congregation tonight, if you are in a situation where you honestly, when you lay your head down tonight or even at this moment, that you have any doubts in your heart or that you don't know where your eternity lies, today is the perfect opportunity. The day is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can turn your life around. And I know as I look out in the audience tonight, I know that there's so many, but I know there are those that are watching. You're not alone. And we'll pray for you. We'll be with you. And we'll guide you in the direction. But it is receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And let Him do the rest and just completely release it to Him. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Love each and every one of you. We're going to get ready and take up the evening offering. Then we'll have a couple of special singers. As they're coming forward, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I don't have the note with me. We're going to, it should be put on the screen before service and get the notifications out. But it's time that time of year for the Samaritan's Purse, the children's Christmas box that we do, the shoe boxes that we do each and every year. And Miss Elaine has all the information if you have any answers, any requests for it or want to get some more information. We'll have boxes that we can supply, or if you would like to do your own shoebox and you put your toys in there. Remember, there can be nothing military-ish, nothing weapons or anything along that line. And there's certain candies that they're not allowing you to do anymore. But they are going to be able to do it, even with all this stuff going on in the world. The children need to know that Jesus loves them. And Miss Elaine's got a list. She'll be glad to give you all the information. I'll have a better notes up here with me next time. But don't forget about that. Don't forget about our Overcomers Outreach and our food closet. There's such a need going forth right now. So we just give God all the honor and all the glory for all of our ministries. Praise the Lord. Brother Billy, if you'd ask the Lord just to bless our evening offering, please. Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God.
Jesus only. Singing, isn't it, right here now, I tell you. You heard of popcorn testimonies? Hey, y'all. My goodness. I wish y'all would sit closer sometimes. I feel like I'm looking down a tunnel at you or something. Anyway, God knows about all things, don't he?
Yes, he does.
God can do everything,
yes,
can he?
Hallelujah.
Let's try the key of G where it says, I know my God can do it.
Praise God. I'm telling you. I think most of you were here Sunday when Brother Eddie delivered his message. And how many of you remember the title of the message? How many of you were the broken, broken but not destroyed, right? Is that correct, brother? That's it. And as he went through that message, it made me think of the words in this song. And because I was broken real bad at one time. Whoo, man. You know, and but like he said, I wasn't destroyed. God come along, took that broken heart and wiped all that foolish pride and fear out of it. And gave me the life I got today, thank God, you know. So I've been blessed. But listen to the words in this song. This is an old favorite. As he washed your eyes with tears so you might see. Think about that. I'm not telling you. Many years ago, before he opened my eyes and my heart, I was one of them guys, don't shed a tear for nothing. That wasn't macho. That wasn't right. But let me tell you, when he hit that heart and he opened it up, boy, let me tell you, the rain bucket couldn't catch it all. So, but that's what it's about. Thank God.
Are you glad that Jesus lifted you?
Amen.
I'm just going to sing a little chorus here. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me.
We used to sing a song, he had to reach way down for me. And I'm so thankful, amen, that he loved me enough to reach down in the miry pit of clay and lift me up. Not only lift me up and lead me, but he lift me up and placed me on a solid rock and established my goings. Amen. If you love the Lord tonight, give him praise. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Probably not going to try to sing this, but if I did, it'd probably be an E-flat. Amen. Sister Jennifer and I was talking right before service when we were getting ready to start, talking about the apparent soon coming of Jesus. Who knows, it's closer today than it was yesterday. And amazingly, she and I both agreed, we hear this from people that are not necessarily speaking Scripture. They're just observing. They're seeing things that are transpiring in this world at a rapid space of time. It's just one thing right after another. And it seems like everything that happens is, wow, this has never happened before. And it's kind of the going thing. It's just 2020, you know. You can expect the unexpected in 2020. But really, to Bible readers, it should not be the unexpected. The Bible says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, that's a good thing if you're saved and ready to go on to be with the Lord. But if not, it's a warning sign. Amen. And I just wish that the world would take that as a warning sign and get their hearts right, get their soul right, and accept Jesus Christ. Because I don't read in the Bible where there's any other way that we can be born again except through the blood of Jesus Christ. But it made me think of this song, Over the Next Hill, We'll Be Home. We might try to sing it, and if we don't, I'll just end up reading. My singing voice is not really up to par. Ephraim.
By the way,
land is laying. It's saying that over the next year we'll be home. Well, it's a straight, narrow highway, no detours and no byways. And over the next year we'll be home. From the prophets I've been hearing, I would say the end is nearing. For I see familiar landmarks all along. By the dreams that I've been dreaming, there will be a great redeeming. And over the next hill we'll be home. By the turn the tide is taken, I would say there's no mistaking that over the next hill we'll be home. There's a place that we are nearing, that so many have been fearing. And over the next hill we'll be home. When we get there, we're all hoping that we'll find the gate is open, and there'll be a refuge from the coming storm. For the way's been long and weary, but at last the end is nearing. And over the next year we'll be home. From the prophets I've been hearing, I would say the end is nearing. For I see familiar landmarks all along. And by the dreams that I've been dreaming, there will be a great redeeming. And over the next hill we'll be home. And over the next hill I'll be home.
How many is thankful for that promise? My, my, my. Over the next hill. Hold on, church. Wait till you see what the Lord has prepared. Amen. For those, amen, that have made Him Lord and Savior of their life. And He's gone away to prepare a place that where He is, we may be also. What a glorious, glorious promise that is. Good to see you on a Wednesday night. Trust and hope that things are going well. I do appreciate the prayer requests, and let's do keep them in our thoughts and in prayer. So many people are in need of prayer. Thank God for a praying church. Thank God for a praying people that doesn't just hear the prayer requests, but takes them to heart and is serious about praying for those who stand in need. And thank you, Brother Billy, for mentioning those who are in harm's way down on the coast. From what I hear, it is a very devastating storm that is approaching very rapidly on the coast of Louisiana and Texas. And they're talking about some historic surges coming in. I heard 15-plus high coming in. It's good even travel 30 miles inland. So hopefully people are taking their warnings and they're getting out of harm's way as far as possible. But let's do remember there could be a lot of devastation. And remember especially the lives of those who are in the way of that approaching storm. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of Daniel. Amen. We're going to revisit the children in the burning fiery furnace. But we're going to be revisiting them in a different capacity tonight. We've probably heard the fire preached, the three Hebrew children, probably about as much as anything other than David killing the giant. And it never, ever gets old, by the way. I mean, I could listen to it over and over and over. I've heard of people saying, you know, I know it's a rerun, but I'm going to watch it again because I enjoyed it so much. I'm that way about the Andy Griffiths. I could watch them over and over and over. Penny says I have most of them memorized, and I do agree. I have very many, several of them memorized, but I'm so glad that I never tire of the stories and the scripture and the things that are in the Word of God. Amen. I never, ever want to get enough of it. It's so wonderful. But in the book of Daniel, chapter number 3, I want to begin with verse number 27 and verse number 28. Daniel chapter 3, verses 27 and 28. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. In the book of Daniel it writes, "And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men," these men being Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you for your anointing. God, for those who have gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray your blessing upon each and every one here. Those who are listening and watching by this live stream tonight, Father, I pray that you would reach there and minister and touch them. Lord, our hearts go out to those who are sick and suffering, those, Lord, who are in peril. Father, we pray, God, that you would be a comfort, a strength, Lord, and a source of power to those who stand in need of prayer tonight. Lord, now we just ask you, God, to be with us in a special way. God, let us feel your holy anointing and your spirit. I pray, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, use this vessel tonight, God, that you might get honor and glory, and that we might receive your word that you would have us to receive, that it may go deep into our hearts, God, and fill our spirits tonight, Lord. And we'll look to you to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in the precious holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I want to talk to us tonight about the fire that had no power. The fire that had no power. Again, as we revisit Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you're aware of the story, you know how this came about, and how that the king had made a decree, and he had erected this monument, and we're kind of rehearsing this over and over, and I don't want to be too redundant on it, but again, let's just lay just a little groundwork if we can. And all of the princes and the king's men and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the ones that the Bible mentioned, they all gathered around, and at the sound of the music, they were forced and expected and commanded to kneel down and worship this golden image that was erected by the king. But it didn't set well with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they wasn't raised that way. How many is thankful for your raising? How many is thankful for what mom and dad and grandma and grandpa did, and how that they encouraged us to stand upon our principles? Amen. And we see too many people bowing to things today that they were not raised to respect. And my heart goes out to that. But there was something in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And let me tell you something. They knew when they didn't bow that they would have to face the consequences. Now, it's one thing to just not bow because you just didn't want to or didn't feel like it. But facing the consequences of a fiery furnace, you know, you might scratch your head just a little bit. And we see things happening today. Our people are forced to do things that they don't want to do, if they don't agree to do, but they just don't want any trouble. Folks, we're in a bad situation when we start giving in to Satan. Amen. Can you say amen tonight? We got to stand on the Word of God. You can't back up to the Word of God. You can't apologize for the Word of God. And you certainly cannot compromise the Word of God. How many knows the Word of God means what it says? Amen. And says what it means. So they knew this and they knew the consequences. But their faith and trust in God was greater than the peril that faced them. Can you say amen? We need to remember that our faith and trust in God is greater than anything that we can come in contact with or we can face. But here they are. Now, this is after the fire. You know what happened during the fire. They heated it up 7 times hotter than normal. And actually, the fire was so hot that the ones that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire were killed because of the intense heat that was coming off of that fire that they had heated up. So Nebuchadnezzar meant absolutely to make an example of the three Hebrew children. He fully expected them to light up and just almost ignite as soon as they went into this fire. But as he began to observe, not only did he see three men loose walking around in the midst of the fire, but he says, "Lo, I see a fourth man." Thank the Lord that we don't have to walk through the fire alone. But this is after the fire, okay? This is after that God has sustained them. This is after God, according to Nebuchadnezzar, had sent angels to protect them. But nevertheless, here they are and they're being observed. Everybody knows that when you make a statement and you walk on faith and you exhibit your faith and you say, "God will keep us through anything," how many know that there's people out there that's watching you and observing you to see if you're going to stand fast on your faith and to see if God's really going to do what you said or believed that He would do? And a lot of people are observing that and watching. So the king brings the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the audience of the governors and of the captains and the princes and the counselors. And they're all gathered together. Now, have you ever been in the midst of something when people almost could not believe what they were seeing? I'm that way just about every night when I watch the news. You know, did that really happen? Or when you're streaming down Facebook and you say, "I can't believe I just heard what I heard or saw or read what I read," especially in the day and hour that you and I are living in. But here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who was cast in a fiery furnace. They should have been burnt, should have been completely roasted. But here they are, not only alive, but completely unharmed. And they're beside themselves. They're witnessing that and they're observing that and they can't figure it out. And Nebuchadnezzar begins to be the spokesman and he realizes, many knows that he realized that it was God, the God that they served, the God that Daniel told him about, the God that they refused to bow down to here. They worshiped that all-powerful God and that God sustained them through the fire. So they're watching them and there's some things, some characteristics about that. And I want us tonight, as we begin to think about the fire, I want us to think about the trials that we have gone through, the trials that we have been involved in, or maybe the trials that someone near and dear to you. The trials can come in many different forms. Sometimes it's not a fiery furnace of a trial. Sometimes it's a trial of depression or a trial of anxiety, or it's a trial of this, a trial of affliction or sickness or whatever it is. It could be a physical fire or a trial that maybe we just lost our job, we just lost this or something like that. And they come and they're hard and they're difficult. But I believe there were some characteristics exhibited by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that we can learn from. Let's go back to before the fire. Let's go back to before they had audience with the king and the king told them or gave orders to have them thrown into the burning fiery furnace. First of all, they were noticed above other people. In fact, they were captives. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were captives. They were captive from Jerusalem and from that area and brought to Babylon to be servants. But the king noticed something about some of the Israelites. They had an aura about them. They had a something different about them. And the Bible explains, basically, I believe here in the very first chapter, I don't want to spend too much time there, but it said, "Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning and knowledge, understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a day. This is when he appointed them the daily provision, but we don't want to get into that. I want to go back to the fire and see these characteristics that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. They stood out in the crowd. Not only did they stand out in the crowd prior to the music, but they stood out in the crowd, and Nebuchadnezzar was able to witness and recognize something about them. Let me tell you something, folks. When we make a statement that we're born again, we stand out in a crowd. Whether you realize it or not, the people that you know, the people that you work with, some family members, they're going to watch you, and they're going to be affected by your testimony and by your walk of faith. And here's some of the things that caused them to stand out in the crowd. They would not bend to popular opinion, knowing the consequences. Man, it's so easy to go along with the crowd. When you go along with the crowd, you're not making a statement. You're not bringing attention to yourself. But there was something in these three Hebrew boys, something in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said, you know what? We may face death. We're going to face the consequences. But I'd rather go down. I'd rather leave this earth, amen, than to compromise my beliefs or compromise my faith or compromise the principles and the morals that I have been taught and what I believe to be true. Amen. How many knows today when we understand and obey the Word of God and we know the Word of God, we cannot bend to popular opinion? We must remain true. We must remain strong. Now, I will tell you, it's more difficult in the day and hour that we're living in than it was when I was younger. Can I tell you, in my lifetime, and I'm certainly not a young person, but I'm not really ancient either. I'm somewhere in between. But in my lifetime, I have known of most people that would not maybe agree with the Word of God, but at least they respected the Word of God. And maybe they did not go to church, but they respected those who did. And they didn't put you down for your beliefs. Not there might have been a few, but as a rule, generally speaking, most people had respect for those who lived and worshiped God and tried to live a holy and righteous life under the Lord. Can I tell you, that's gone out the window. They don't care anything about you. They don't care anything about that. And you stand out in a crowd now. You stand out in a crowd, and because you stand out in a crowd, you're ridiculed, you're put down, you're called all manner of names. But let me tell you something. We cannot bend to popular opinion. It would have been a whole lot easier for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just kind of nailed down. But we can't do that today. We got to take an example from that. There's something in us. I believe that in one place it said there was a right spirit. There was a different spirit about them. Amen. How many are, I'm not trying to impress anybody, but I want them to see the Spirit of God that is in me. I don't care if they remember my name. I don't care if they know what church I pastor. I don't care if they even know I'm a pastor. But if they can somehow see the Spirit of God shining in my life and exemplifying what a walk with the Lord, then I would be happy if they can see Jesus in me and don't really care if they see me at all. But in that fact, we're going to be faced with consequences. We're going to be faced with situations that we're going to have to stand for the Lord. So they knew that they were standing out in a crowd, couldn't bend to popular opinion, and they certainly knew the consequences, but were faithful to God anyway. Now, being faithful to God and not knowing the consequences is one thing, but being faithful to God, knowing what the consequences are. What were the consequences? You're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Not maybe. Not if, but you are if you don't bow down. They were given, and here's another thing. Not only were they given one chance, they were given the second chance as well. And I don't want to be too redundant because I preached this not too long ago, but God led me to this, and I'm going to really try to get to what the meat of this lesson is about. But they refused to bow when given a second chance. They knew, amen, that even though the devil wanted them to bow, and that's basically what it is when we go through these trials and we go through these situations, we have to remain true to God. We cannot compromise. We can't take our coat of salvation off and hang it on the coat rack somewhere and be something else as realize we're different than what we are in the church, we got to remain true, and we certainly got to stand on the principles and the Word of God wherever we go. Okay, this is all preceding the fire, okay? This is before the fire came. Amen. And, you know, a lot of people might say, well, yeah, but when the fire comes, oh, wait a minute. But no, they remain true. But in the fire, now in the fire, you know, if the consequences dictate that we must go through the fire. Now, when I say fire here, let's think about the trials. Let's think about the situations that we go through. There's probably not a one of us today sitting in the congregation. And maybe I don't want to speak for you, but I just want to, in general terms, probably not a one of us who could say, Brother Eddie, you know, everything in my life has always been perfect. Every situation. I don't know what you're talking about, trials. I don't know what you're talking about, hard times. I don't know what you're talking about, situations. You know, but every one of us have our own fiery trials. How many would agree with me that some trials seem to be more intense than others? Man. Some trials, we're almost like this. God, I got it. This is a little one. I can do this. But they get more intense. And then when they get heated seven times hotter, Lord, I got to have you. And He will not leave us in the fiery trial alone. He was there walking with them and protected them. So they were not alone in the fire. There was, in fact... Have you ever thought about why they were walking around? I just kind of think they were praising the Lord. That's just me. That's just me. You know, some people ask me, why do you walk around when you're preaching? Because I can't stand still. You know, I think it was in my yearbook, I think I put, there was one, I don't know if it was a senior year lot, but I put in one of those sayings, you know, a live wire never gets stepped on. Think about that. And when I'm preaching, when I see it on live stream, I say, good Lord, brother, can't you sit still or stand still and preach? I can't. I don't know why. But I get to moving like that. And you know, it's kind of the thought process. I think when I'm standing here, I can stand here sometimes, but every once in a while, I just got to move for the Lord. And I'm kind of thinking that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the first thing that happened when they got thrown in that fire, all of a sudden, they were completely loosed and free. I don't ever want to be in a place where I can't be completely loosed and free to worship and praise and glorify God. Amen. Because He's brought me too far. He's done too many things for me. I begin to think on the blessings. I begin to think on my life before I met Jesus. I begin to think about where He brought me from. And then I get to thinking about where He's going to take me. That's the reason I can't stand still. I have to glorify and praise the Lord. And in my mind, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying, you know what? This is not so bad.
It burned the ropes and all that had them bound. So the Lord will be with us in the fire. We said all the time, what does it keep us from? He'll keep us through.
So now we've seen Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego before the fire. I want you to notice something. They were the same in the fire. Think on that. They were the same people. They were the same mindset. They still had the same trust and faith in an almighty God before the fire and in the fire. So now they're just glorified. It says, I see three men loose walking around, and the fourth man, rather, is the Son of God. And they're just having a wonderful time praising the Lord. So now we go, and this is after the fire. And this is where the Lord really, really touched me. And I know I've been kind of repetitive here, but I had to say all that to kind of lead us up to now, because I have thought about in my fires, in my trials, in my circumstances. You know, some people call it in your run of bad luck. No, it wasn't that. I don't believe in luck or bad, good luck or bad luck. I believe in our consequences. I believe that God has ordained. I believe that God has His way. I believe that what happens most of the time in our life. Now, we do sometimes stray from God and get ourselves in a mess. But most of the time, what God is doing, He's leading us and guiding us and making us stronger even through these trials that we go through. Because He's letting us know that I'm not only your God in good times, I'm your God in bad times too. So here they are, and they're standing before this audience of the same ones who put them in the fire. You remember, they're the ones that went and tattled on them. They're the ones, because Nebuchadnezzar wasn't even there. They went and said, hey, those boys from Israel over there, they, you know, those certain Jews, they're just not bowing down. You know, and I just thought, well, I ought to bring that to your attention and let you know, because you know you made a decree, and you said in that decree that whosoever would not bow down at the sound of the music would be that same hour cast into a fiery furnace. Now you need to back up your word. You know how tattletales are. People that love to tote tales, and that's what they were doing. And here they are observing these three Hebrew children, or who have come out of, we call them children, they were men, they were young men. But here they are standing, and listen to this again. I want you to listen as I read this again, and let this sink in. It says, the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. And I read that and I got all excited. I got, Lord have mercy. You know, what we fear so many times, there's no power over us when we stand on the Word of God and put our faith and trust in Him. What looks terrible, what looks awful, even seven times hotter than it ordinarily was, hath no power on the three Hebrew children, because God had blessed them and protected them from the harm of the fire. Not only that, nor was a hair of their head singed. You ever been close enough to a fire where it actually singed you, your eyebrows? Every time I read that and I think about the story, I remember my dad had a junior food store. And they had, Brother Thomas, you remember that furnace back there? And it had to be lit, the big old gas furnace. That thing was huge. It was scary. And you had to light the pilot light. And when you had to light the pilot light, because of the dust and all that was in there, you had to blow on it. And normally, you know, you're pretty cautious. when you got a match and some gas and you have to blow, you better be cautious. But this thing wouldn't start one morning. I mean, I got right in and I was blowing on that thing. All of a sudden, I mean, it went. There was some trash in that, and the trash went into my eyes, and I thought I was blinded for life. And, you know, but when I got to look in the mirror and washing all that stuff out of my eyes, I didn't have an eyebrow left. They were just completely gone. They were brittle, because when I wiped them like that, they fell off in the sink. And I still have a hard time growing eyebrows today, and I think it was because of that time, amen, that fire shot out, you know. And you know, it's a powerful fire when that happens. But, you know, there was evidence that I had been close to a fire. Here, there were no evidence. Not a bit of evidence. Not a hair on their head was singed. Their clothing didn't even smell like smoke. You ever been close to a fire, a campfire? That stuff gets in your clothes, and you can smell it for days until you wash it. But here they are as evidence of what God can do in a terrible fiery furnace. Not only can He protect us and cause the, oh Lord have mercy, cause the fire to have no power over us. Do you realize what God is saying through His Word? That trial that you're going through has no power over you. As long as you trust in Me, we're going to come out, and nobody's going to ever know that you've been through the fiery trial. And then I happened to think, Lord, I had, you know how those times when you check yourself? Lord, have I come out of my trials with no evidence? Or have I come out of my trials telling everybody how hard my trial was? Oh, me. And I happen to think, you know, sometimes I think it's a comfort to us when we begin to tell folks how bad it was in that fire. How long I had to suffer. And what I had to go through. And you know what? We're in the midst of witnesses. Hello? Here's the same people who was responsible for putting them in the fire, but they couldn't find any evidence that they had ever been in the fire. Because all the evidence was gone. can we come out of a fiery trial with absolutely no evidence that we've been in the trial, that we knew without a shadow of a doubt that God was with us, God protected us, and that's it. It's history. Amen. It's gone. God has already delivered me. Can you say amen? Oh, that next trial that I come through, and you know what? I'm not predicting it. I'm not prophesying it. I just know that situations happen, but when I go through it, not only is God going to keep me through it, but when I come out, I don't want there to be any evidence whatsoever that I've been on a trial or a problem or a bad situation in my life. Because after the fire, as they were standing before the witnesses, listen to what the king said. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake, and he said, "Blessed be the God. Blessed be the God. Who proclaimed there's no other God except me. I want to be a God to you because I've erected this statue and you're going to worship me." He's blessing the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Lord, why did I have to go through this? It wasn't punishment. It wasn't that God had abandoned you. It wasn't that God didn't care anything about you. And it certainly wasn't that God didn't hear your prayer, but He knows He heard your prayer. But you know what? I protected you through the fire, and now you're standing before witnesses that are glorifying and blessing me. So the fire wasn't really about you. The fire was to get honor and glory for me, God. Well, Lord, yeah. But couldn't you let me know before all this happened? Couldn't you tap me on the shoulder and said, "I'm going to walk into the fire with you"? If God had done that, why would you have to have faith? They were still adamant about their faith. They were still strong. They were still steadfast, even though they knew that they were going into the fiery furnace after giving a second chance and an opportunity to say, "Oh, wait a minute, I'll go back and bow down." No, they stood firm. Let me tell you, let me encourage you. Let me encourage each and every one of us. When we go into that trial with your head up. Amen, because you're not the one that's going to bring yourself out of that trial. God's going to bring us out. And we can glorify and praise Him. And then in the midst of witnesses, don't tell them how bad the trial was. Tell them how big God is. Tell them how God sustained you and helped you and strengthened you even in the time of your most terrible trial. The king said, he blessed the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then he says, "Who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants." His servants who? That trusted in Him. Man. You know, I talk about after the fact faith a lot. There's really no such thing. After it happens, that's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not seeing how that God is going to do it, but believing it anyway. Amen. Faith is calling it done, even when it looks like it's an absolute impossibility. Putting in the hands of God. They delivered them because they trusted in their God. Amen. What a witness that is. And here it is around all of those people that had turned on them, those people that had tattled on them, those people that turned their names into the king and was responsible for having them thrown into the fiery furnace. Can I tell you another thing? I'll just throw this in. Sometimes the fiery trials that you go through are not your fault. It's not even that God wanted you to. It's just that somebody turns you in. Somebody didn't like your lifestyle. Somebody didn't like your righteousness. Somebody didn't like you proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. And they spoke ill will of you. And you found out about it. And you went into a fiery furnace. Because it hurt your feelings. And you said, "God, why did they just treat me like that? Why did they talk about me like that?" In the face of the witnesses, they came out of that thing. And the witnesses couldn't even tell that they had been through the fire. Glory to God. Man, Lord checked me on that. Said, "You know what? The next one that comes." And I'm saying, "Wait a minute, Lord." I mean, there's another one? Hey, it's reality. May not be as bad as the last one, but we got things we're going to have to go through. We understand and know that as long as we're in this body of flesh. But here's the thing, And this I'm not going to use that word. This confuses me with born-again Christians. Because we'll testify about how God delivered us, about how God brought us through, how there was no other way, and we knew it was God. It had to be God. It was a miracle in my life until the next situation arises. Whoa, God, where are you? We just testify that it was God delivered us. How quickly we experience spiritual amnesia. Where are you, God? But what He's done before, He'll do again. Amen. What He's able to, if He's able to take us through one trial, He'll take us again and again and again and again. There's many trials, situations that arise in our life. They trusted God. I like this other thing. They changed the king's word. That's what he said. He said, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word. Wouldn't you like to be responsible to be the vessel that God uses to change somebody's mind about you? That puts you in the fire. That stabbed you in the back spiritually. Oh, I see some eyes rolling. Because y'all thinking about some people you need to be praying for right now, ain't you? You mean Brother Eddie? Because they would delight in seeing you burned up in that fire. Destroyed. But if you can stand before them in victory, they can't even tell that you've been through the fire, because the fire had no power over them. Amen. Glory to God. You came out with a smile on your face. You held your head high and you worshiped and praised God because you knew that it was God that brought you through. And they can't understand why you came out victorious. And it changed the king's word. Because he began to proclaim that God, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego worshiped was the true God. Amen. Because of a fiery trial. Because there was no evidence. And I love this part. Oh, I love it so much. Not only did they trust in him, they have the king's word, changed the king's word. And listen to what the king says. They yielded their bodies. Well, I love it when God speaks. And it's almost like a loud voice when he's speaking. And I'm reading these things and I say, Lord, have mercy. You know, so many times we talk about just going in the fire and God was with them and the fourth man protected them. But there was some mindset on the parts of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was some steadfast faith. There was some trust. There was some obedience to God's word. And they yielded their bodies. You remember what they said? Even if God doesn't deliver us, we know he's able. He's able to. What a mindset. I don't want to go through this fire. I don't want to have to. But if that's what I have to go through, then if God delivers me, that's fine. If he doesn't, I'm still going to worship and praise him. That kind of does away with blaming God for the trials, blaming God for this and blaming God for that. Because I'm going to trust him according to what they were saying. I'm yielding my body. Amen. Yielding. What does yield mean? It doesn't mean what the little cartoon that I saw. The guy was merging onto the traffic, and he saw a sign that said, yield. And he went right on in the traffic and just caused a terrible wreck. And the state patrol stopped and said, man, didn't you see that sign? He said, yeah, I yelled as loud as I could. Never mind. It was funny when I read it anyway. He yielded as loud as he could. When we yield, do we really yield our bodies to God? Do we really yield? And turn ourselves over to God. Mind, soul, body, and all. That's what David said. Lord, I want to serve you with my whole heart, mind, soul, and body. Do we yield our bodies? The king recognized and understood that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not only stood firm in their faith, but they yielded their bodies. In other words, they said, you know what? If this is going to be my destiny, we're going to go into this fire. We're not going to complain. We're not going to moan. We're not going to groan. Amen. Because if that's what God wants us, then that's what we're going to do. And then God got the honor and glory for it. And then he went on to say, this is wonderful too, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. We can remain true. We can remain steadfast outside of the fire. But can we remain true, steadfast, and faithful in the midst of the fire? And then when we come out of that trial, when we come out of that tribulation, that persecution, whatever it may be. And I'm not saying it's comfortable. It's not. Some of the things that we were made to go through, suffering. And you know, but the Bible also says it's in no way to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed. The suffering that we go through. But when we come out, can we come out with a testimony of praise? Or does our testimony give a full description of how terrible it was in the midst of that burning fiery furnace? Or in the midst of that trial? Do we talk about why would God have to make me suffer? Why would God allow me to do this? Or why would God allow this to happen in my life? Or do we come out and say, you know what? I'm just going to glorify and praise God. Nobody's going to ever know that he went through the fire because I'm just going to come out and glorify and praise him. And you know, you see it yourself. Why do some people, you know, you look at him and say, man, they don't ever have any problems or trials or whatsoever. That's not the case. I'm sure they have just as many or as other folks. But they've learned that moaning and groaning and carrying on about it is not going to set well in the face of witnesses. But if they can come out, you know what else it does? It makes Satan so mad. It does. Have you ever had anybody in your workplace or school that loved to get jokes on you or jab you or say something that just irritated you? You know what made them so mad? When it didn't bother you. If they could see that they could needle you and it bugged you, they never stopped. They'd always do something. But if you just kind of laugh at them, you know, just, hey, don't bother me at all. They quit doing it. They quit doing it. So how can we come out of those fiery trials? Hopefully stronger than when we went into them, because we know that whatever we go into, that God is going to be with us and protect us. And know this, the fire had no power over them. Don't be ruled by your fiery trial. Don't be governed by your situation. But lift your head high, lift your hands high, and glorify and praise God. And understand and know that he will keep us through the fire. May God bless you. We love you so graciously much. You're just precious, precious folks to come out on a Wednesday night and hope that you receive something from that word tonight. I truly, truly was excited when I read that. And just, you know, I know it's a familiar story, but as I said, sometimes you can go back and God will show you something that you've just skipped over and over and over in different sermons. But I thought, Lord, help me to come out of my trials with a positive attitude. Help me to come out with my, you know, not even there's no burn marks on me, but it don't even smell like smoke. Isn't that amazing? And that's got to come out with a positive testimony. We can do that with the Lord's help. Would you stand tonight? If you have a need tonight, if you have a prayer request or any situation, whether you're sick, afflicted, if you just want a touch from the Lord, this altar is open. We would encourage you to come around. We'll pray with you and pray for you. We know that God is able, amen, to do exceeding abundantly above anything and everything that we could ever ask. Amen.